This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Geek Fuel. They ship out a mystery box for geeks and gamers every month, and you can get in on this and get a bonus item worth $10 if you head to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report and check it out there. Also, Entertain Art. They're also sponsoring us. Get official, licensed, ready-to-hang artwork from Star Wars, Disney, Marvel, and so much more. Check it out at StarWarsReport.com/EntertainArt. Or excuse me, /art. StarWarsReport.com/art. Use discount code SWR20 for 20% off. And caseable. Handcrafted cases with Star Wars designs, no less. They're printed on demand and fantastic, fantastic quality. Check it out at StarWarsReport.com/caseable. Let's do it. Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 247 kicks off as we talk about J.J. Abrams and new details revealed from his TFA commentary. Let's do it. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. Man, we've got so much to talk about. Not just JJ, but new rumors on the young Han Solo film, more Rogue One news, and just more Star Wars awesomeness than you can shake a stick at. Let's do it. Gotta hear that tinkling piano in that part. I love that part of the song. I can never talk over that part. Hey guys, it's Riley Blanton. I'm your host for this week's podcast. So glad to have you on board with the Star Wars Report. To those of you tuning in live on Facebook, hello, we salute you. And of course, to everyone listening via podcast, we salute you as well. Welcome, welcome. You're home. This is the Star Wars Report podcast, the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting this side of the Outer Rim. If there's a cold center to the universe, you're on the planet it's farthest from. No, that's not right. Wrong quote. No. We have a great time here each and every week, and I'm so glad to also have on board with us for the entire program, the producer of the program, a good friend of mine and of yours. It's Mr. Bruce Gibson. What's up?
Thank you. Hey, how's it going?
Howdy.
Hey, it's Saturday. I was telling you before the show, I'm so excited because it's the weekend, and Saturday also means Star Wars Report Day.
I was going to say, in the parlance of the millennial generation, if I may, sir, I need to clear my throat, get prepared. I believe it is turn up. That is what we are doing tonight. We are turning up, as they say.
Well, see, for Generation X, we're about at the time where we tune in. We turn in to our beds to go to sleep soon.
I believe another one is
get turnt.
Are we getting turnt? I believe is another one.
I don't know.
This is the kind of cutting edge social commentary you're getting here on the Star Wars Report. But no, seriously, we've got so much to talk about. And we've actually got a few. We're tipping our toes into a little slight spoilery section. We got some new updates on some possible episode 8 rumors and spoilers. Nothing too bad. And of course, we'll give you the spoiler warning. And then I'm very excited at the end of the show. We've got Trisha Barr to come talk about, this little known publication you may have heard about at the New York Times. They did an entire feature on female fandom in Star Wars, and she's quoted in it. And I thought we could have her on, and she'll be up right at the top of the hour, which, by the way, is something I've wanted to say for a long time. Coming up at the top of the hour.
Not this hour, but the next hour, because we're going long.
Oh, no. Yeah, this is going to be kind of a special extra long show. So I'm very excited. And you know what? So enough dilly-dallying. Let's get into the news.
We have something to report.
Santosa, I have the news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
J.J. Abrams has hit the circuit, by hit the circuit, he's hit the studio. He's recorded the commentary for The Force Awakens, and Star Wars fans everywhere, get excited. Because now's your opportunity to shell out some more money, buy the 3D edition of The Force Awakens Blu-ray, just so that you can listen to the commentary. And we're getting already some journalists, film journalists of the world are getting their grubby hands all over this, which is coming out very soon, Tuesday the 15th, I believe it is.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That, oh, look at that. Just guessing too. That's the right Tuesday. So
there's some confusion. Is the commentary on the 3D disc, or because there's a 2D disc in there too? Is it on the 2D disc or the 3D disc?
Here,
you know.
I'm here for you, Bruce, and listening audience. And I can.
This is why I'm here, so you can educate me.
Thanks. Thanks. And also thanks, primarily to. Bobby Roberts, who was on Star Wars Tonight this week, he was the one who informed me that, yes, this will be on the two-disc version as well. The two-disc, the 2D, that's what I'm going to say.
The 2D.
That is
good.
Technically 2D, two-disc, right? Well, anyway, you get it. So, yes, you can buy the set and use it with your regular Blu-ray player and have the privilege of listening to J.J. Abrams' commentary. Which Collider points, you know, Bruce, I want you to take us off on this story real quick, because we are learning a few things about J.J. Abrams and the commentary. What are we learning so far?
I haven't learned that much except for you and Bobby Roberts talking about it.
That's true. Well, and that's true, because to get the full details, really, you have to hear Star Wars Tonight. But we'll give you some updates on that project as well here in a second. But my big takeaway, Bruce, from the story we read on Star Wars Tonight was the fact of the reveal that Luke's lightsaber had a much more prominent role in the film in some early drafts. And in fact, that shot, you know, that floating shot of the dismembered hand, like clutching the lightsaber, that
yes.
shot was in an early draft of the film, and then they cut it, which is probably for the best. That would have been a very...
Thank goodness. Because I remember hearing rumors about that, yeah. that was going to be the opening shot, and that just seemed really odd to me, because when you think of the opening shots, it's usually a ship or something, and something so small with a hand on it going through space, it seems a little odd.
It seems very Peter Jackson-y, like that they would turn Luke Skywalker's lightsaber into the One Ring, right?
Right.
It would basically, you just wait for the humming violin of dee 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 dee. All right. So,
yeah. And Frodo to reach out for it.
Yes. Yes. for Jedi would shake the fortunes of all. No, that's not how it went at all. That's not how it went at all. All right. Collider has an update as well on the Han Solo movie. Although I can't say that. I have a problem, Bruce.
Yes, you do. What else?
Whenever I see the text of Han Solo, I have to say, Han Solo. And then I'll obviously follow it up with, you're a dead man.
Right. Tell that to Kanja Club.
Tell that to... It was coming. It was coming.
I knew it was coming, but I wanted to beat you to it.
You sure did. Bradford Young, who is the cinematographer... behind the young Han Solo movie, has some updates. Updates. There's an interview with him that Collider's pointing out. Quote, these cats can be subversive, and don't let it fool you. They are prepared to say exactly what they want to, and it's complex, it's layered, it's smart. Referencing the Han Solo film, by the way. It's visual, it's dramatic, it's funny, it's uneasy. I laughed, I cried, it moved me, Bob. No, wait, that's the wrong... it's dramatic, it's funny, it's unexpected. These cats are, you know, I'm honored to have them in the list of directors I've worked with, that's for sure. Now, and of course he's referring to Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the acclaimed directors of the Lego movie, which, by the way, is the biggest surprise movie I've ever seen. I loved the Lego movie as much as I've loved many of the best Pixar movies, and I was not expecting that going into that movie.
Right, weren't you? I mean, Lego movie, you're just thinking it's it could be straight to video for all we knew. You know, Lego movie, what is it? What's it all about? But yeah, I thought it was one of the best animated movies I'd seen in quite a long time.
Oh, yeah. That was the only Lego movies I had seen before that were Bionicle, right? And then
right.
Lego Star Wars, which is funny, but not like... It was quaint. It was touching. Who knew that... what's his face? SNL George W. Bush guy. Why did I just forget such a famous comedian? Let us know in the chat. The smart, visual, dramatic, funny, it's uneasy. Those are all things that I kind of like. Unexpected. He seems to be impressed with what he's seen so far. And also, that means the writing process must be pretty far along, which I guess makes sense, right? This is the next film to go under the... to go under the old camera reels. So
Well, if they're going to convince him to be the cinematographer on this film, they're going to have some meetings and discuss what they're doing and everything. So it must have gotten him pretty hyped up and excited.
Yeah,
I would think so. And, you know, it still kind of worries me sometimes because it's like, is this going to feel like a real departure from Star Wars?
Yeah.
It may be really good, but is it going to go too far away from feeling like Star Wars or not? I always say feeling like Star Wars. I always want everything to feel like Star Wars.
Such a nebulous statement. It's got to, you know, it's just got to feel right. Like, what do you mean? Yeah.
It's like when you put it on and you look in the mirror, it's just got to look and feel right.
Favorite pair of jeans. As Swara just pointed out in the chat, Will Ferrell! That's who I was thinking of. And also a shout out to Anthony also in the chat who caught my VeggieTales reference. I'm very excited that someone got a VeggieTales reference. So all the kids of the 90s who watched VeggieTales, you just got it. Sorry, Bruce.
That's okay.
And also, so we do have, now this is interesting. You know, it's time to get the family together. It's time to get out the carving knife, as it were. Does anyone still use carving knives?
I don't know. What are you going to do? Do a jack-o'-lantern or carve the turkey?
Carve the turkey is what I'm thinking. Or better yet, we could watch this brief ABC Network promo, which highlights the fact that there's new Rogue One footage coming at the Disney Holiday Celebration Thursday, November 24th. I'm attempting to make it work, but I don't think we're going to get the audio of it. But that's okay. So ABC on November 4th is going to air exclusive new Rogue One footage. This is the wonderful world of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration. Let's take a look.
Magical castles on Earth in a new holiday tradition for the whole family. With Kelly Clarkson, Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, and hosts Derek and Julianne Hough. The wonderful world of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration. Thanksgiving night, 8/7 Central on ABC. And during the show, don't miss an exclusive look at Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
They got the whole way. Oh, they got the whole way through there. They got 15 seconds into the 20-second ad. And I was like, wait, where's Rogue One? Rogue One? And then there it is. There it is. So
yeah, you're not expecting, and then all of a sudden you feel like the ad's going to end, and all of a sudden, oh, and by the way, Rogue One footage.
BT Dubs. What do you think they're going to reveal?
I don't know. I would think they might play a scene.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, little clips of things like a new promo, but I don't know. I have no idea. I think it might be a scene of maybe when Jin is young.
Mm-hmm.
Jin.
Because that, I think that's safe. And at the beginning, it's going to be something from the beginning of the movie. Something.
Well, because kids are going to be watching. They want to see kids in it.
That's true. That's a good point. I was going to like start taking prop bets or something like that, and then I realized you're certainly right.
Well, I usually am.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So, you know, I just want to point out, It's been years and years and years, but we're finally getting a holiday special with Star Wars. That's what this is.
Is it? No, it's not. It ain't a holiday special if Carrie Fisher ain't singing badly. If they announce and special musical guest Carrie Fisher, then it's a freaking holiday special. No, absolutely. Can you imagine? I mean, I would watch the heck out of that. Can you imagine if they're like, if they got Harrison Ford, not episode 8, they just do a special Thanksgiving broadcast featuring Harrison Ford. What I wouldn't give.
And Donnie and Marie Osmond. I think they would make a great guest.
I mean,
to the show.
They're still doing stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. The circle is now complete.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The circle is complete. I'd like to thank our first sponsor of the day, and that is Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel, they ship out an awesome monthly subscription mystery box for geeks and gamers every month, and it has at least $50 worth of value. For around $15 plus shipping and handling, every box has an exclusive t-shirt, a fully downloadable game, and a total of 5 to 7 geeky items that you, yourself, will be surprised by. These things, like these subscription box services, are super, super popular these days. And I saw, you know, I saw Geek Fuel's booth up at New York Comic Con. They had some serious stuff going on, and I'm super glad to have them on board as a sponsor. Now, here's the thing. If you want to test them out, take a look at what they offer, make sure that you go to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. That's geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. If you go through that link and sign up, you get a free bonus item on your first box. That's at least a $10 value. So make sure you check it out. It's geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. And we do thank them for coming on. It's really cool to have some new sponsors on board. So as always, geekfuel.com. We do appreciate you guys. But let's carry forward, Bruce. Now we've got, you remember the old Phantom Menace tagline? What was it? Every saga has a
begin. Excuse me. Has a frog in his throat. Every saga has a beginning. Well, wasn't that it?
Well, yeah, forget that. You know what the new coolness is?
What?
Every story has a face. Now, if you say it wrong, it sounds kind of goofy. Every story has a face. But that's literally, I kid you not, the new slogan of the Gillette Rogue One campaign. You have no idea that that Razer's being a part of Star Wars marketing, how much this excites me. Because, dude, as a guy who's in RTC and has to shave all the time, A, it's cool to have Star Wars stuff. But B, have you seen this ad that they've put together?
Yes.
It is.
It's almost like a mini movie.
It is a mini movie. In fact, I think it features some Rogue One footage in the ad itself. Take a quick listen. I'm going to just narrate over it real quick. So you get to see, like, the rebels facing off with the stormtroopers, the face-off, slightly dry smile. And then they do this sort of cool reversal, where it's just like you get to see them slowly going back into the drop tank, slowly going back to their base, slowly going back to the preparation for the battle, and you have this sort of seamlessly integrated footage of their actors advertising the Gillette advertisement, and of course the actual Rogue One footage. My favorite part being, listen to this music, man. And back to the beginning, we have a Battlestar Galactica level lighting showing the dude getting ready and shaving. But, man, I don't know. I would have, if you had pitched this idea to me, I would have been like, man, you're nuts. There'd have been no way I would have thought this was a good idea under any circumstance. But
what, to make the short?
Yeah, it kind of works.
Yeah.
Are you going to go buy some Gillette razors? Can I get a case?
I think I might have to. Because they do look pretty cool, the razors.
After, of course, you check out geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. After you do that, of course. No.
Well, those look cool, too, because there's a bunch of stuff in there.
Well, and you never know. Maybe the Geek Fuel mystery box will have the rogue. What? Nate, I need to stop. No, I need to stop making promises like this. I'm going to get in trouble. But yeah, we talked about this on Star Wars Tonight with Nathan Butler, and it was pretty hilarious to, I don't know. It's just, it seems like an odd tie-in, and they put a ton of work and time. They even flew out some fan sites I saw that some different folks in the Star Wars community to London. I think the Jedi News guys were there and everything to check out some of these new these new Star Wars themed brands, which I just, dude, I thought were the best thing ever. Best thing.
Hey,
ever.
Dude, it's only for women. It's only for men and not for women, right? There's no women razors.
Yes, wait.
Or is that? I mean, am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I think on that. Wait. Are you talking about, for the actual sets? Yeah, I don't think they do.
The Star Wars razors. Are there, I mean, I guess any razor can be used by a man or woman. My wife sometimes uses my razors.
Helmet. What if all the Death Troopers are women? What if all of them are women? Hmm? You think about that?
I wasn't really talking about the spot. I was talking about the actual razors.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the packaging on the razors. They have a Stormtrooper one, a Death Trooper one, and two other ones. Not that I've looked at these. Not that I've been like seriously like perusing like, ooh, this is pretty cool. Yeah, Devin in the chat was pointing out, yeah, the there are no women's razors. But
they could use a man's razor, right? A razor's a razor. I mean, it's just a blade. Well, I mean, come on, right? If you were going to shave your legs, you would not buy a women's razor. You would just use the men's razor.
I mean,
let me ask, when you have shaved your legs, what kind of razor have you used?
We're getting a lot of likes on the Facebook live feed right about now, and I'm getting really uncomfortable.
I'm not saying you shave your legs now. I mean, it may in the past when you were lifeguarding, you know, because you could swim better.
That's going to be like a live Patreon special. No, we're not going to do that. Oh, man. That is so true. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I feel like the advertising campaigns, the tie-ins, this is the biggest one so far, at least that I've noticed. So it's kind of feeling, well, that and Duracell. We were just seeing Doctor Strange last night. And of course, we saw the new Rogue One trailer in front of it. The best part of the whole, best part of Doctor Strange, man, Rogue One trailer. I mean, it's a pretty good Rogue One trailer. Doctor Strange is good. It's good.
I was going to see it tonight, but I did this show instead. But I do want to see the Rogue One trailer on the big screen again.
It's good. Here's the interesting. There's the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, which got a big pop, a big reaction. Like, people cheered at the hooga chaka hooga. And then, of course, when, like, freaking Rocket Raccoon blasts a hole and he shows up and then peeking around behind his shoulder is Baby Groot. There's, like, a round of laughter and applause. You know what happened during the Rogue One trailer?
What?
Stunned silence. Everyone was just kind of like, it was literally a pin could drop right after it. Because everyone was, like, blown away. It's a great trailer. But also, I feel like everyone was like, Where's the black stormtrooper and where's the desert girl and where's the, at least that's what I'm thinking in my mind the whole time I'm watching this. So I don't know. It was good. Doctor Strange, good. We won't do the full review here, but it's good.
So when you saw the Rogue One trailer, was there any reaction after the trailer? No. Did anybody like applaud or no. Did you hear anything?
No, dude. Like, I'll never forget the applause that broke out when I literally drove up to Atlantic Station, like Thanksgiving morning, whenever it was, when the first Force Awakens trailer was released. And there was like a solid, I'd say half the crowd was there because that was the first showing of the day for Big Hero 6.
Yes.
The other half of the crowd was there were us guys, the trailer people. And so we filled up like a whole row or two of nothing but people who were there to watch the Star Wars trailer. It was great. It was the best thing.
Yeah, and I think that was when, after the trailer, you said, we can all go home now or something like that.
Yeah.
You shouted something out.
I did. Were you there?
I was sitting right next to you.
That's right. I remember like it was yesterday.
I was a stranger at that point, I guess.
You know me, man. I have the worst memory ever. But yeah, that was
that's why I'm on as producer.
Yeah, it's so true. There's more truth than I'd care to admit. But yeah, and as Suara was saying in the chat, it's absolutely incredible on the big screen. It was so cool. And you know what else we saw? Speaking of advertising, we also got to see the Duracell ad. Have you seen the Force Awake, not Force Awake, the Rogue One themed Duracell ad?
Why, I have not.
Well then, you know what I'm gonna do?
What are you gonna do, the commercial?
I mean, I could. It's really good. All right, hang on. All right, Duracell Star Wars ad. All right, hang on. We gotta give it a second. Here we go. It's pulling it up. Thank you, Google. And then I just clicked on video results, and then you'll hear it, and the folks who are watching it will see it. On the camera, but I'd like everyone, especially if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you catch it. Here we go.
Sir, I must advise against this. The odds of survival are 600 to 1.
No choice, 3PO. My sister's in trouble. R2 gets it.
Yeah.
Everything okay, bud?
I'm not sure yet.
All right, so this is not the Rogue. It might be the Rogue One. No, that's this Force Awakens one. Oh well, but they've got a great Rogue One up as well.
Yeah, I'm watching some of it right now. I actually have seen some of this.
Yeah, they showed that in like the early screening portion of the theater, and it was I don't know, it is kind of feeling real. The as Rogue One, as the hype ramps up a bit more, I am feeling like it like I say, it's feeling more real. advertisements make us feel more real.
I know I'm getting more excited. I really am. The closer we get, the more exciting I'm getting.
We talked about, we had a show meeting, ladies and gentlemen, at one point where Bruce and I, like with Rogue One, there's a point, and even to this day, it still lingers a bit, but there's a point where it's just, I wasn't feeling it, man. And you had exactly the same feelings because we were getting ready to ramp up Star Wars tonight, and we were getting ready to, do this nightly live Facebook podcast video stream with all these great guests as we count down to Rogue One. Check it out at StarWarsReport.com. And as we were preparing this, we were thinking it just doesn't feel the same as The Force Awakens. And I was trying to put my finger on it, and then I thought, well, you know what? Not unlike the children in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. If Christmas spirit was stolen from us, or in our case, if the Star Wars spirit just wasn't quite there as much as it was for The Force Awakens, by golly, we're gonna create it ourselves. So that's what we did. We launched Star Wars Tonight, and we launched it early. In fact, I'm just gonna take a moment here to tell everyone who listens to this podcast, The Star Wars Report, the flagship show of the network, the main one. If you're not listening to Star Wars Tonight, do it. It's an absolute, as they say around here, an absolute hootenanny of fun. And we're broadcasting live every weeknight at facebook.com/StarWarsReport, where there's video with the guest of the evening. We're having friends of the show, friends, co-hosts on the network here at the Star Wars Report, and of course, all kinds of great folks. Like last week, dude, we had Bobby Roberts. We had, I'm trying to remember who all we've had. We had you, Bruce. We had,
you had Nathan.
Thank you. Thank you. We had Nathan Butler. Man, we've had just a litany of folks that I'm now hope. I know I'm missing one, but oh well. This is what happens. I'm doing it live. I have no notes in front of me. But it was so much fun, man. And so you can do it. Join us. It's every weeknight, Monday through Thursday. And on Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This coming week, I'm very excited to announce that we will be having Savannah Kiefer on Monday. We will be having Steve Glosson. He makes his Star Wars Tonight 2016 debut. And he does that Tuesday evening, again, 7 o'clock. Then we've got, make sure I don't get it wrong. We got Mark Newbold of Jedi News. He'll be joining us this Wednesday. And Mark Herleman, co-host of the Star Wars Report, who's not available to be with us tonight. He's finishing up his last camping trip of the year. He will be back on Star Wars Tonight this Thursday. So a huge lineup of really cool people this coming week, and we're working with more and more. We're going to have the return of Amy Ratcliffe, Scott Rifen. We're going to have the return of Brian Brushwood, Justin Robert Young. I've talked to so many people that have said yes. It's just a matter of finishing up the schedule. So
it's huge.
It's going to be huge. Actually, a lot of the people might huge. Be listening to this very podcast on election day. I'm sorry. I mean, we're doing our best to distract ourselves from the.
So wait, you said on Tuesday is Steve Glosson?
Yeah, that's
this coming Tuesday. So election night, we get, if you don't want to watch the coverage on Fox News and CNN, uh-huh. and you're just tired of elections, this is the thing to listen to, is Steve Glosson.
I mean,
and you.
If there's one man who can at least just make life a little more bearable on this terrible Tuesday, it's Steve Glosson.
And just to point out, last Tuesday it was Matt Rushing of Aggressive Negotiations.
Thank you, Matt Rushing. I say all that to say, make sure you check it out. It's Star Wars Tonight. It's available on iTunes and, of course, StarWarsReport.com. That was totally unplanned, but I just thought of it, and I definitely wanted to plug that project because it's pretty ambitious, man. Like, we're doing 6 weeks of nightly shows, which carries me through, like, my PT test is that Tuesday, for ROTC, and it's vote, and it's election day, and we're still doing a live show. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, and we discussed starting it earlier this year because, like you're saying, the hype, we're not feeling the excitement for this movie like we did with Rogue One.
The hype.
But now there's two reasons, I think, for that. One is we're in a 10-year drought between films. This year, it's only a year. And second, with Episode 7, we know we're getting returning cast members. It's a continuing a story. This new movie feels more like, you know, kind of like an interlude to the saga films.
Yeah. No, exactly.
And we don't know exactly what we're getting. So we're a little like hesitant, like, is this going to be what we want?
Yeah,
I think so.
We're going to be all like, I will make it hyped.
Right.
All right. So enough about Star Wars tonight. Make sure you check it out and do so. But let's carry into we kind of have, you know, I don't have the spoiler tone on my handy dandy soundboard. That's a shame. Like, I feel like we need it. We need what's the closest thing? What is the most dire version of our show stinger? John Williams is the man. That's what we're gonna do. All right. So this is your official mild. That'd be fair, right? Mild, wouldn't you?
Mild.
Say?
Yes.
Very mild. 5 to 10 minute discussion. Spoiler on Episode 8. Right now. No, don't do that. My screen rotated. And now.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. John Williams is the man.
That's the most ominous one we have. Dude, that plays through. Like,
oh my gosh, that's like, you've been warned. It's spoiler time.
It's spoiler time. And yeah, no, so I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. A long time. And that is read an article from makingstarwars.net. It's like an old, long-lost friend. I remember the days of the like early summer 2015 when I was still looking for spoilers before I surrendered to my more trepidatious instincts and no longer hunted out rumors. And we return to some form of that because we have a couple new updates, actually.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, huge. If you're trying to avoid spoilers, it's not like this is a big reveal.
Exactly. And we're simply not going to. Like, I'm not going to be seeking out any of the big reveals for Episode 8 or Rogue One, for that matter. Except for Rogue One, we know they all die, right? Like, that's just a given, right?
I'm not sold on that.
But we have a new update specifically on Luke Skywalker and the look he will have in Episode 8. And it's interesting. There's some interesting details here. It's not the level of spoilers we were having for Force Awakens at this time. But it's still going to be interesting, and we're going to talk about it right after I tell you about Entertain Art. Entertain Art is sponsoring the Star Wars Report podcast this week, and they are the place to go to find officially licensed, ready-to-hang wall art from Marvel, Disney, DC, and so many other studios, run by a passionate team of amazing folks who, by the way, make these. I'm getting it. I'm pulling one off my wall to show the camera. Hey, everybody. This is an art print from Entertain Art. And, in fact, the audio people can hear my hand running. See, that's the canvas. Now you know what it sounds like, even. And so they print on high quality canvas. They have regular and metallic. They do embellished products, and they have more than 1,000 designs on their website. Make sure that you check them out. It's over at StarWarsReport.com/art. StarWarsReport.com/art. And if you head through that link, A, they know that we sent you, and B, when you check out, because you're going to, because they have amazing stuff. Christmas is coming out. This is the perfect gift for that Star Wars fan who has like all the regular posters and everything. They don't have this. So make sure that you go to StarWarsReport.com/art, and when you check out, use discount code SWR20. SWR20. And we do thank Entertain Art for sponsoring this week's podcast. Man, let's... Let's get to this. Man, there's so much to talk about. We've got. I left everyone hanging, and I was like, wait, what about the episode 8 update? All right, so here we go. Let's rattle through this real fast because we do have some interesting updates. So according to sources, here we go. Wait. I need to make sure I get to the right one. That's the second one. Here we go.
There's a lot of waits here.
I know. Here we go. All right. We were able to get Lumberjack Nick, who I assume is an artist there, to do an accurate representation of Luke Skywalker's episode 8 costume. The depiction is from a training sequence where Rey is frustrated with Luke's teachings. He decided to go with a mechanical look for the hand because we couldn't tell. It was a robotic hand or a black glove in the sequence. He didn't appear to have the lightsaber at all, but was holding a thin spear, a thin walking stick, or a piece of junk so that we gave him a placeholder for his hand in the picture. The point of the photo is that you can see what the design is for Luke's costume. Although used in those rainy sequences between Skywalker and Rey, Rey's costume is also accurate. Interesting. So we do have... Yeah, you included the art. It's kind of an interesting medieval look.
Yeah, it's like, it's gray. It's like a cloak. It kind of reminds me of Kylo Ren's.
I was going to say, the way it's kind of wrapped around his shoulders there.
Yeah,
I don't know. It'd be interesting. Evidently, in the film, the costume's just filthy most of the time, and Skywalker is more like Yoda on Dagobah in terms of style. Instead of the white regal costume that we see. Does that mean like he saw the ship coming in? He's like, oh, I guess it's time to get changed into the Sunday clothes.
Well, that's the question I've had for quite a while. Does he have more than one outfit?
I mean, dude, like that's the question. Like, forget about like what's happened in the last 30 years. That's the true cliffhanger, honestly.
Right. And does it show off his figure? Is it nice form fitting?
Accentuate the beard because you need a regal look with the beard. So slightly trimmed, but not too much because that would show that you think too much about it, right? You just want a natural sort of distinguished look. I feel like now I'm doing like a TLC fashion show version of, I would watch the heck out of that. Can you imagine? Like, oh.
A TLC fashion show about Star Wars?
See, this is where I need my mom in here right now. There's the name of the show. Bruce, you have a wife. What's the name of the show? It's like, it's not Say Yes to the Dress, but it's something like that where like someone goes in and they get like a total clothing fashion makeover. I want the Star Wars version of that. Kylo Ren, by the way, wins all because he has true style. Speaking of Kylo Ren, again, continuing the slight spoilers. Again, these are mostly on costumes. Kylo Ren may be wearing, here it is, we warned you, Darth Vader's cape. And according to sources, he's wearing it in episode 8. It's said to be like the one Darth Vader wears in Empire and Jedi. However, it does not have the same chain clasp. So it's not entirely clear that it's the one Kylo made to resemble. Or the actual cape. I mean,
okay, that's kind of a stretch to me. He may be wearing a cape that looks like Vader's, but I can't imagine he got Vader's cape because number one, Vader was burnt, so the cape should be burnt up unless it's got holes in it.
Yep.
Or he's got one of Vader's old capes. So what did he find where Vader used to live and went through his outfits and a few things?
That starts to.
I mean, it just seems a little odd that, oh, he's got a cape of Vader's, like whoopty freaking do. I'm sure it looks like it, but I don't think it's an actual Vader cape.
Dude, I'm not going to go there. There are things I could say.
No, he's not wearing Vader's underwear. No. I think Vader's more of a briefs guy than boxers.
See, Bruce went there, so I didn't have to. I just totally lost my train of thought. Thanks, Bruce. Getting back to the story, yes, I think it's definitely a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a stretch. It is. Because if it's a long black cape, it's probably just the same look. A poor imitation. It seems way more like Kylo Ren to just say, I like that cape. It looks kind of like my grandfather's. I still stick with the fact that Kylo Ren sounds so much like Hayden Christensen. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Brief aside to thank Bobby Roberts in the chat who does recount it as what not to wear, which thank you.
Do they still do that show?
I have no idea. Probably
not. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I used to watch it.
Exactly. And then, of course, Extreme Makeover. That's another one. Star Wars style. And then, of course, a shout out to to Kevin, who just joined the chat. Hey, Kevin. Man, I'm getting distracted now, but I love the I'm loving the Facebook Live. It works so well. And
I don't know if it's working well for you. You're getting so distracted.
Well, that's true. I do. Back to topic. We have cleared. We've cleansed the palate of the slight spoilers. You know, that was like a nice medium. It was good to kind of get back into a little bit, just test the waters. Nothing too. There were a couple things that I did like. The back of my hairs just raised slightly, where I was like, I didn't really know that about the movie, but nothing like too significant.
No, I think the most significant thing, at least for me, was the fact that Luke has a stick, that he's not using a lightsaber. I mean, maybe he does in the film at some point or whatever, but he's training Rey, and he's got, it's either a walking stick or something, a stick he's training with.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, it's all purely aesthetic. It's nothing to do with the plot of the movie. But other than the fact that I guess that confirms in some ways that Luke is going to train Rey. But like, is that a surprise at all? Like, are we anyway? We said like 5 to 10 minutes, and I feel like that's the time. So if you're coming back on.
Or just real quick, he's using that to tell her to get off his lawn.
Or he's using that as like, how are you eating food of this kind? Whack, whack. Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I feel like we'll welcome back the folks. If you skipped ahead a few seconds, you've come to the safe space, the spoiler safe space of Star Wars. Like, we're okay with safe spaces here, especially the spoilery ones. And normally we do that at the end of the show, which we will continue in the future. But today we've got a very special guest at the end of the show. So we have to save that time slot for Trisha Barr coming up in about 20 minutes here. So we've got to do that. However... We're going to talk a little bit about what we've been up to this week. But before we do, cause we do want to do Boba's Bounty, and it's been an interesting week, for me. And it turns out I've been doing Star Warsy stuff like pretty much every day. In fact, I'm going to take a few minutes to highlight, Star Wars tonight, in Boba's Bounty, because I have a few updates for you guys in that territory. But before we get into Boba's Bounty, I want to tell you about another sponsor for us this week. It's Caseable. Caseable. They have cases for all of your mobile devices, including iPads, Kindles, tablets, the laptops, and of course, pretty much every smartphone. So make sure that you check them out. It's Caseable. They've got a wide range of really cool designs. In fact, I've got one right here. As I say, it's right here on the desk. I've got the fancy Yoda, the Sir Yodington is what they call it, the Sir Yodington case. It's pretty, it's amazingly well-crafted and really well done. And I'm very glad to have had Caseable on for the last couple weeks sponsoring us. They've been amazing. We're going to be doing a giveaway this week on Twitter. So stay tuned to @StarWarsReport. We're going to be giving away an iPhone 6 case, which I'm very excited about, which is the bubblegum chewy one. So we're going to be doing that giveaway. Stay tuned very, very soon. And not only can you choose from a wide range of not just Star Wars designs, they have a lot of really cool regular designs as well. So you don't have to go with Star Wars. And all of these cases, and you can tell when you hold them, are handcrafted and printed on demand just to ensure an absolutely fantastic quality. Make sure you head over to caseable.com. Or go through our link, most specifically, StarWarsReport.com/caseable. That's Caseable. Caseable. StarWarsReport.com/caseable. And we have a discount code for you. Check out and use the discount code SWR10. Again, that's StarWarsReport.com/caseable. And that discount code, well, it's SWR10.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Don't get cocky.
That's right. I was starting to get cocky, and then I was reminded. Don't get cocky. It's excellent life advice. You know what? We've got Boba's Bounty, but I just realized something, Bruce, is that with Boba's Bounty, we should save that and see if we can rope Trisha in on that segment as well. And also, I just realized, we have a little bit of time till Trisha's here. We got about 10 or 15 minutes. But I totally realized we have a lot of listener mail that's piled up.
Ooh, so yeah, I love those. Can we do those?
Let's get to the email. See, now I wish I had an email stinger. I've got one somewhere. I've got to update me old soundboard. But let's do it. Let's just jump straight into some of the listener feedback, which is presented by the fine folks supporting us at Patreon. If you want to jump on board and get some exclusive bonus content like our weekly Friday edition, we are doing Star Wars Tonight every Friday. And if you want that episode, as well as all kinds of great bonus content that you can check out, make sure you go to patreon.com/Star Wars Report. But let's get straight into the feedback. This email comes from Christopher. Christopher says, want to send these idea by someone's, and last times I did, you guys actually read it on the podcast. So I'm 2 for 2. So I'm going for 2 for 2. And well, guess what, Christopher? You are 2 for 2 because we love reading listener feedback. And that's what we do here at the Star Wars Report. Each and every email that comes in, if at all possible. We've got a pretty good track record, too. So, but he said, first, I've been listening to a lot of theories on Rogue One and how the Death Star might fire on Jedha and that it might not work the way it should. Of course, we got that one shot from the trailer, Bruce. But it would damage the planet. What if Jedha, wait for it, Jedha becomes Jakku?
Ooh, yes.
You're going to be all like, you know what? Suddenly, like, I don't know why, but like for some random reason, Mace Windu's alive, jumps up into center frame and says, Jakku, and then swears. And I won't swear on the show, but just imagine Sam Jackson just jumping into frame and saying, Jakku. Anyway,
I think it'd be great if Windu shows up on a Jedha and he's like, I'm still alive, guys. And all of a sudden the Death Star shoots the plane. And he's like, oh, crap.
Oh, yes, that's so true. That's true. Number two from Christopher, he says, has to do with Rebels. Now, I've heard fans talk about Yoda saying that Luke is the last of the Jedi after him and Obi-Wan are gone. And that means for the Ghost Crew, the Ghost Crew's got to go, at least the Force-sensitive ones. So we have Christopher's theory here. Christopher's like, Zeb, he goes to be with his people on the lost planet that they found in the second season. And I'm going to a little editorialize here and jam out to that pretty sweet freaking 80s rock music on the boombox they had in that episode. Sabine goes to Mandalore to fight with her people, and Hera goes back to Ryloth with her father, with Chopper. An important note, I can't forget Chopper. And of course, here's the thing. Kanan and Ezra, with Bindu having influence on their lives, they find that place in the middle, and neither of them are Jedi nor Sith. So there you go. I want it called. That's from Christopher. Christopher, you're so rose. You're so optimistic. God bless you. You're so optimistic. You know what I say in the parlance of one, I got to do credit where credit's due, Jimmy Mack of Rebel Force Radio. I think both for Rogue One and for Star Wars Rebels, they dead. They all dead.
That's so negative.
I'll just leave it there for those of you who got the reference. We got an email from Kirk. He says, hey, guys. I'm a big fan and listen when I can. And listen when I can, although right now it's nothing but Ahsoka on your recommendation. Well, you're welcome. Although we shouldn't recommend it to it. Listen to Ahsoka, the Ahsoka audiobook, the second you're done with this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. But I digress. Anyways, I don't know if you've already talked about it at some point, but have you noticed the homemade doll in Rey's house and that it looks like it's wearing X-Wing pilot's orange jumpsuit? How far of a leap do you think it is to assume that the pilot that dropped her off on Jakku was an X-Wing pilot? Luke, he puts in parentheses. One would assume that she made that doll as a young girl shortly after she was dropped off. Someone who basically turned her into an indentured servant. Hey, remember? Quiet girl. Quiet girl. Quiet girl. I hate that. That scene's so hard to watch. I feel so bad for her. I don't know. What do you think? Is this the evidence? Is this the proof? The X-Wing doll that it's Luke? Is it Luke?
Well, it possibly could be. But I also think that if Luke did drop her off on Jakku, then Luke is not her father. And the reason I say that is because on the commentary with J.J. Abrams, he said something about Rey being taken away from her parents to Jakku, which led me to believe that her parents didn't take her there. So whoever took her there was not her, a father or a mother.
Yeah. I could see that. I don't know. For me, there's a certain point. I don't know. I haven't crossed the threshold yet, but there's a certain point where it's too much and I can't speculate about Rey's parentage anymore. And I'm close to it, man. Like, because because then if I fall in love with like a pet theory of mine and it's wrong, then I'll have to get over that. I'll be like Mark Herleman sitting in the theater thinking, where's Mara Jade? You know, I tease, Mark. I don't know. Are you in that category at all, Bruce? Or are you just like speculate for your heart's desire?
I mean, I hear people speculate, so then I start thinking things myself. I try not to speculate that much, but I'm really of the theory right now that there's so much speculation on Ray's parents that it's almost like you can't. Like, I think people are going to be disappointed. So it's almost like don't even make it a thing. Maybe we never find out who her parents are. Maybe it's not even significant. Maybe it's not even all that important. But I think Daisy really did indicate recently that we're going to find out soon in this next film.
That's true. I forgot about that story. I did. So do you think, here's another question. How much faith do you have in the storytellers? If you just had to guess now, you know, not unlike people are, you know, watching 538 for the election results as you're listening to this podcast episode, not to reference, again, I apologize for referencing the horror show, but back to the Star Wars world, back to Star Wars. For Star Wars, just to make that brief comparison, if they're watching the election results, if you're to watch the results of fandom as they react to episode 8 and Rey's heritage, do you think it'll be a satisfying story?
I almost feel like it's going to be 50-50. I think that at least 50% of people are going to be disappointed because they already have it built in their head that, oh, I think it's Luke or, oh, I think it's Han and Leia or whoever. And then it's going to be this, wah, 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 like, oh, that's who it is. What's the big deal? That's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's and it's just what we do as Star Wars. We can't help it. It's a problem. We know it's a problem. You know, the first step is just admitting there is one. We have, hi, I'm Riley. I speculate about Star Wars ceaselessly and then fall in love with my own speculation and then the movie results might disappoint me.
Well, honestly, I think the Riley. Best situation at this point is just to say that Luke is her father because most people already assume that. And if you just address that up front and not even make a big deal of it, it's just, you know, he calls her his daughter or something, or she calls him dad or whatever it is. Just make it a subtle thing. Then I think it'll be well accepted.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I could see that. Let's see here. Do-dip-do-do. Hey, there we go. Sorry, I got distracted by the live chat again.
It's that Bobby Roberts. He's always distracting you.
true. I think, in fact, Bobby, you know, I'm going to go straight to the chat on this one. Bobby points out in the chat that at this point, any and all theories about Snoke and Rey have long since passed the point of diminishing returns, and they are just guaranteed to. Although, here's what I want you to do right now, Bruce. Go to reddit.com/r/StarWars. All right, we're going to do a little experiment live here on the podcast. You go to, again, reddit.com. Do if you're not if you're driving now, if you're listening to the podcast. Only if you're not. If you're not driving, go to reddit.com/r/StarWars. Scroll down there and then just look to the right on the right panel, about a full page length down. You're going to see a fun little placeholder image. And you know what, Bruce, could I get a dramatic reading from you on that one?
So is this... Maybe the real Snoke is the friends we made along the way. And it says Star Wars, terrible Snoke theory of the month.
Yep.
And the Star Wars logo is a rainbow.
Dum, bum, bum, bum. All right, our next email comes from Damien. He says, hi, love the podcast and what you all are doing with it. I have a question for thou. Oh, not fancy. You guys are saying that everyone has to die. Again, it's just too good of a joke. Again, shout outs to Jimmy Mack. They all die. He dead, she dead. They all die in Rogue One. Since we're nearing Rogue One, I wonder why can't we have the series go on past Rogue One? Oh, I think he's talking about Rebels. And go between episodes 4 and 5 and 6. Wouldn't it be cool to see what happened because they are a cell? And we have one that we focus on in the movies are that cell. And wouldn't it make some sense if they had more seasons and we had more insight into the movies? Tell me what you think of this and continue up with the great podcasting. May the Force be with you. That's from Damien. Thanks for the email, Damien. I just don't have enough. It's hard for me to say this, but to be brutally honest, which I try not to be, right? I try my best, guys. I'm sorry. I try to just bury the truth and just lie to myself, right? It's good. You know, it's better that we just all pretend everything's okay and ignore our problems. Kids, remember, it's just not. I guess I'll say all that to say, I just don't think the Rebels format, the Rebels show, is of the. Oh, I feel terrible saying this because I love Rebels, but it's just not of this of the quality, and not just like, not in terms of product. You know, like 5 billion caveats here. Not in terms of the production. Not entirely in terms of the writing. Not in terms of the characters. Maybe slightly in terms of the writing, but not because of the characters, not because of the setting, not because of the animation quality. It's just for the characters and the quality of animation and the storytelling overall. I just don't feel like that storytelling medium, the team behind Rebels and just the overall Rebels, it works really well for what it is in the lead up to A New Hope and, of course, in now Rogue One. I just don't feel... There's so many other ways I would want to see the stories between A New Hope and Empire and between Empire and Jedi told. If there are stories in a visual medium, I would so much rather those be a Netflix series or a full feature film or a Netflix featured film. I'm just rambling at this point, Bruce. What do you think?
Well, I like the idea that Damian has in the fact that, you know, we don't have to think of Rebels as being a series that takes place before Rogue One or maybe even during at some point and before A New Hope. I mean, I don't see why it couldn't continue past Episode 4. I don't feel like it needs to really fill in the blanks leading into Empire
Rogue
Strikes
One
Back
or maybe even during at some point.
But there's no reason why the series has to stop
New Hope.
I mean, New Hope. It can continue past that. So that might be interesting. And if it didn't, I'd like to see maybe the last episode be like the finale be like a movie that takes place after New Hope, because that's one of the things I was hoping with the Clone Wars is I wanted to see the Clone Wars series take place after Revenge of the Sith to see what happens. So I would love to see where these characters are and what happens after A New Hope.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting,
because the rebellion's continuing. I mean, if anything, it's at its height at that point.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. You know, I do want to see the stories told. I just don't think Disney XD is the place to do it. That's just if boiling it down. Now I feel like I've betrayed a friend. I feel like I've betrayed a friend, Bruce.
Well, no, I mean, because I mean, Rebels can go there, but you can't. I agree with you. It would be great to have a different series and a different style of series taking place between 4 and 5.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. There's no way we can get around that. So, well, you know what? I apologize to the entire. World on that, but I'll tell you what, man, I just got word from our guest for the final segment of the program, from Miss Trisha Barr. So I'm going to add her to the group call and we'll see if it works. Cause if it works, it'd be really sweet. Like watch it. If it works this first time, we'll know that we're golden. So here's the true question.
Hello,
Trisha. It works. Look at that.
Yay.
Can you see me?
One of my favorite young Jedi. I sure can.
Yes.
But you know what? The important thing at this point, we need to have it to where the good folks watching on Facebook Live can see, which we just did. So look at that. Look at that. We are good and golden. It's great to see you and talk to you, Trisha. How's life?
It's good.
So, all right, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm not going to be around the bush at all. I know you just got finished watching Rebels. Don't tell us. Just don't tell me. Don't tell me. And I want to know. We just got done talking about, actually, a moment from Rebels and a listener who was, I don't know. I'm wanting to see. He was wondering if Rebels could go into miniseries between A New Hope and Empire or Empire and Jedi. I don't know, but I digress again, as the folks in the chat are fond of pointing out that I do far too often. Trisha, we have you on for this final segment of the show to talk about a little known publication. Not sure if you heard of it. It's called the New York Times. I believe it's a prominent New Jersey newspaper. No. No, New York Times featured a fantastic piece, an absolutely fantastic piece titled How Females Fans Made Star Wars Their Own, which, by the way, I already like the title because it's not like how female fans took over Star Wars. No. It's a fantastic piece by Amanda Hess. And there are a lot of great quotes from this, including you are featured. In fact, I'm just going to go straight to the piece and then we'll get your reaction and kind of see where the discussion leads us from there. But I'm just going to this paragraph. I just love this paragraph was in the New York Times, guys. I know these people. It's so cool. So on Twitter, Jonah Marie Macias, the proprietor of the popular site The Wookiee Gunner, lamented that the franchise remained stuck on its daddy issues instead of exploring the mother-daughter dynamic. Happy that Jin is the lead, but why does the father have to be the scientist? And then on the podcast, Fangirls Going Rogue, I feel like I've heard of that, the three hosts discussed the role of Jin's mother with guarded enthusiasm. Mothers tend to get erased, or they're there to die. The co-host, Trisha Barr, said, and hopefully we're not continuing that trend. So like that's the micro, because you're kind of talking about this new wave of both fandom and official storytelling. In fact, he was on Star Wars Tonight earlier this week. Bobby Roberts was key to point out. You know, the one thing the piece may have even missed is the fact that I don't know if you got if you know this, but like Star Wars is run by women right now. And that's a thing. That's a thing that is now the case. And you know what's great about it? It's the fact that we are getting these new angles of storytelling without, I don't know. There's so many thoughts I have, but you know what? I'm going to shut up because I just want to get your thoughts on the piece and how you heard about it and kind of your overall thoughts on the author's premise.
We actually got interviewed for Sarah Teresa and myself for about an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amanda contacted us, and you get nervous when you get contacted because you don't know what the angle is.
Oh, yeah.
and it was really cool to just, you know, riff with her a little bit. And does my sound okay?
Yo, absolutely. No, you're coming in okay. Loud and clear. It's perfect.
Perfect. I'm going to take my thing off because I'll just talk a little bit. Her position was that someone who's not informed, I've seen Bobby's comments actually, and I think it's interesting because a journalist is looking at a franchise, how they see it, not necessarily what it is. And yes, it's a perfect, there's a point, and I talk about it quite often, and Fangirls Going Rogue talk about it quite often, that there are women that we would like to highlight, and they are not well known enough in the public consciousness. But from her perspective, when we were talking, Amanda, she talks about pop culture and how people who are marginalized in pop culture find their way to bringing voices. So Star Wars is a perfect kind of segue with that. And, you know, that was, she listened to the episode we were talking about, that Jin is one woman amongst a bunch of men. And we've even seen this with Doctor Strange this week coming out, where a lot of people are talking about the Asian culture being used in the story, but not getting to see a lot of Asians in the story, only one really that has a significant role. So for women, that's our discussion point, right? We're talking about there's a Jin, but what about everybody else in the background of that story? So, you know, that's kind of where I think that angle is coming from, how women are kind of discussing that. And obviously the mommy issues has been a thing for me to talk about. You know, women are very marginalized as mothers in Star Wars.
Well, in fact, as Devin just pointed out in the chat, mothers need to stay alive in Star Wars. So far, only Snap Wexley's mother is alive, which is a fair point. But it's an interesting part because talk us through, Trisha, especially your experience in fandom as a fangirl, and seeing this big transformation with Ashley Eckstein and seeing Rey as a lead hero and then now Jin as a lead heroine. I just want to get your reaction at some of the opportunities. And I feel like as some of the opportunities and story chain telling has changed and diversified, it's shone a light on even more opportunities that haven't been taken advantage of. Like, specifically, what walk us through that for you.
Well, I just wanted to point out that I'm actually so thrilled that there are so many women working in Star Wars and that they have those opportunities to do it. But for my history as an expanded universe fan, we had two women who were running the books on either side for Del Rey Star Wars and also from the side of Lucasfilm with Shelley Shapiro and Sue Rastoni, and really did not see any significant impact for women. In fact, it was almost a decrease in women's portrayals in the books from the Mara Jade days. So I don't think that saying equating there's women in charge to there'll be better stories for women happens. It's almost a false equivalence. But it, so, you know, for me, it's how does the culture change and how does everything else change? And I think we're seeing the beginning of the change, but, you know, we had to keep asking. You know, Kathleen Kennedy said she pursued J.J. Abrams, but she also said she was unwilling to go out and ask women to direct. And until we have women in the storytelling, I'm talking about directors and screenwriters are the most important, authors, comic book writers. There, that's when we'll see that everything start to change, where it reflects the fan base in a diverse way, not just gender, but in all ways.
Definitely. It because, yeah, you do get a sense. I feel like there's this lag, like there's this difference. There's this gap between the presence in fandom that women have made and have progressed through in the last 5 to 10 years, particularly the last couple years, and the storytelling that has only partially reflected that. Like we do have. And it's weird. And you know what's so weird about it is the backlash we have just for the small changes we have seen. It's I don't know. It's odd to me, because for me, I don't see an inconsistency in some of the way that Star Wars paved in terms of new storytelling and a diverse storytelling. In fact, like Princess Leia, particularly in A New Hope, like for that time, that's well, somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way. Like the way that she just takes control of the group, that's not something you see in an Alfred Hitchcock film. That's not something you see in like films even later of the 60s and 70s. Like I think about a lot of the classic films that I grew up watching, where women had a very distinct, defined role, and how Star Wars was one of the first ones where that wasn't the case.
Well, and how about Padme and the Phantom Menace and the Handmaidens and just all the awesome women in that movie? And even Attack of the Clones, if you watch that movie for its diversity, it's really good. Really, really good. It's not one of a lot of people's favorite, but I don't think that Star Wars is necessarily breaking ground that it didn't break with the beginning of the original trilogy or with the prequel trilogy when it started. It's, for me, it's how you finish the trilogy and how they expand beyond the first episode of a saga.
So what does that look like, Trisha, for you going into Rogue One and then moving forward into Episode 8? But let's start with Rogue One first.
Rogue One's a challenge for me because I'm really excited there's a lead. I'm getting this from a lot of women. They're kind of like, okay, we don't have to ask where's Jin for the toys because they're making sure they're letting us know. But there's no other female toys related to characters. So Jin is a woman in a sea of men. So I don't know how that ends up. I'm very nervous about it going forward.
it's sort of like, it's not unlike, you know, I just got out of Doctor Strange last night and there are some familiarities there. I don't know. There's something about Rogue One specifically, I guess, when it comes to approaching it for me, it'll be very interesting, and I think it'd be absolutely fascinating if they took an opportunity to create some conflict between Jin and Mon Mothma. And they've kind of hinted at that, but I think it would be of what we've seen, the limited opportunity that I see to bring more women into Rogue One as a significant force besides just Jin. is the dynamic with Mon Mothma leading the rebellion. But I have a sinking feeling that might not be the case. I really hope it is. I really hope it is.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of Mon Mothma. I think we're going to see these characters peppered in, but not a lot.
Yeah, no. But you know what I do think has a lot of potential, probably more so, much more so than what we've seen of Rogue One, is Episode 8. And how do you, what do you look forward to most in terms of the character of Rey? And I think significantly, that might have been overlooked a bit, the character of Leia and how they'll play out in Episode 8.
Well, we also have Kelly Marie Tran coming in, who's Daisy Ridley just talked about, who I'm excited to see. We don't know what she's going to be, but I'm excited to see her. I think 8, I'm very excited for. 9, I'm not a big Trevorrow fan. So when it comes to his portrayal of women, so we'll see. You know, that's a long way away. And I think 8 can do a lot of really amazing things. But you just think about the possibility. Imagine if in the Clone Wars, Saw had died and Steela had lived. We would have another female character in Rogue One. And I'm not saying I don't want to see Forest Whitaker, but we would have had another important female character in Rogue One. So every little choice trickles down in a universe where everything is connected.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm trying to remember the name of the actress. Gamora. I'm so terrible. I'm so terrible. What? Because can you imagine, just for a brief second, imagine if Zoe Saldana played Steela in Rogue One. Can you imagine?
I could, actually. It would be really awesome. It would
be the best. I definitely get your point. And I think the unfortunate part of the process is the time it's taken. However, the good thing is friction. Like, there's been friction. Like, when as this progress has been made, you encounter resistance. And as a very wise man once said, when you're encountering resistance, you know you're doing something right. So I really like the fact that the fangirl community has become so prominent in fandom in a way that isn't, I don't know. And to be honest, Trisha, I sometimes feel weird about even saying it, because I feel like I don't, in some ways, I feel like I shouldn't have the voice in this, because here's the thing. It doesn't, for me and my experience in fandom, you know, it's not been an issue for me, but like when I talk to Bethany and I've talked to her about the litany of experience she has, in fandom, especially in the early days of podcasting, where like the worst was assumed of her, in even small ways, that really pile up and make you feel like you aren't welcome in a community. And the fact that I, by virtue of my gender, just haven't experienced that, I sometimes, to be honest, feel weird talking about it, but I equally find it important and amazing that, you know, her universe was one of the biggest brands present at New York Comic Con this year when we went. And like, that's really cool.
And you guys know, and you've been there. I mean, you can attest to it. Women have been part of your fandom experience all along, and it's just like normal to you, right? And so that's one of the most important things for women, is for just there to be people who attest to, no, these aren't new, like women are. I said a lot of people reacted to the article like, oh, are they just saying women are new to Star Wars? And I went out and said, no, pretty much everybody in that article has been there for a while. So it's not like a new thing. You know, absolutely. Star Wars has had female fans for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And whether, and you know what? And it's, but in terms of like fandom and fan media, you've been such a big part of that. Like the article highlights so many things, like Rebel Girl, Lattes with Leia, Rebels Chat, the Fangirl blog, Fangirls Going Rogue. Like there are so many amazing aspects to a new voice in the community that really isn't that new. But I getting this kind of mainstream recognition of the phenomenon that's already been there, I think that's an important, very important step, and I'm really glad that it's the case. Trisha, thank you so much for swinging on. I want to definitely open up the floor. Is there, if there's anything that you haven't mentioned that you want to mention, and then, of course, let us know where folks can find you and see what you're up to creatively as well.
Yeah, latest episode of Fangirls Going Rogue just went up. It's just Teresa, Sarah, and I being kind of goofy this time talking about it's, you know, we like to be girlfriends sitting in the room talking about Star Wars. And there's a lot of Star Wars things happening and a lot of stuff to be excited for. I know Sarah's at the Rancho Obi-Wan event today.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I know. Everybody is, right? There are a lot of podcasters there. So looks like a lot of fun. And you can find me at Fangirl Cantina anytime on Twitter. I'm talking away and I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk to you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure you check it out. It's Fangirls Going Rogue. It's fangirlsgoingrogue.com.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's our,
excellent.
Yeah, we're a year. This is crazy to think about it, but we're a year just in a couple days from going off of the Rebel Force Radio Network and on our own.
Oh,
and
wow.
putting that website out. So, you know, I just realized that it came up for renewal. We bought that domain name a year ago. So, wow. Woohoo!
Congratulations. That's amazing. Like I remember like years ago when I decided, you know what, I can start a website, and I launched Star Wars Report off of the old Bothan Report feed, and I just, you know, did it myself, and I was like, oh, we're doing it myself. It's such a good feeling. So seriously, guys, check it out. It's Fangirls Going Rogue. Trisha, I have one additional invitation to you that I almost forgot.
Yes.
Each week we like to do a segment on kind of just generally what we've been geeking out in Star Wars. Would you like to stick around for our little show cap as we talk about our Star Wars-y week?
Sure.
Well, in that case, I invite you to and the listening audience to Boba's Bounty.
It's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Every time I hear that sounder now, I just think of Princess Bride. It's a problem.
As you wish.
As you wish. All right. So, Bruce, kick us off for this week. What have you been up to, Star Warsy?
Okay, my big Star Wars thing this week was the fact that my daughter, who's 12 years old, big Star Wars fan, she's in karate, and for Halloween week, they could go to karate in costume, and she went as Rey, and she won the costume contest as being Rey. So that was a highlight.
Like, that's got to be like a big dad moment. That's amazing.
It was. It was. I was so proud of her, and I was so proud of the karate studio for recognizing Star Wars.
Nice. Take that, Star Trek. No, and then, in fact, that's exactly what you said out loud. You like grab the microphone.
No. I would not say that. I'm sorry.
Never. Trisha, what have you been up to this week? Any big like Star Wars events or things that you've been up to recently?
I was writing all this week. I actually been working on bios for the actors in the Rogue One movie, and what a talented group of people. Oh, wow. My gosh. And that's the one thing I'm really, you just go look at like the things that they've done and directed, and Jing Wen, he's like the George Lucas / James Cameron who actually acted in his own movies of China. Wow. I mean, and he's Bays. So you're just, these people are incredible, the actors that they got.
That there's so much potential there. Like, seriously, that's I don't know. There's something, particularly like some of the dialogue in the trailers. The best stuff was from like, you know, now I'm switching around lines. Make 10 men feel like 100. That was a great line.
Yes.
And then, and the Force line that I love so much, but I've just blanked on. I love that so much. All is as the Force wills it. That's what I'm looking for. Man, that trailer was so much fun to see in front of Doctor Strange this week.
You saw it?
Yes. Oh, it's so good. So good. On the big screen, we were in like the big, we paid for like the super souped up premium 3D stuff since it was, you know, Doctor Strange, figured that'd be the way to do it. And seeing the Rogue One trailer in 3D, it was actually pretty good. I was surprised. I really, really liked it. So, I'd almost make that my Boba's Bounty, you know what? I'm going to have to make my Boba's Bounty. You know, I mentioned it partway through the show, but Star Wars Tonight has officially relaunched. The 2016 Extravaganza Edition is live every weeknight, Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. right here at the Star Wars Report Facebook page. And we have such a cool list of folks coming up. And I already went through the names earlier in the show, but that's what I've been doing this week. Literally every night. I'm nuts, guys. I don't know what possessed me to try to do this, but like through a significant PT test and election day, I'm still doing a Star Wars live stream, and then also through finals and everything. We're doing it for you. So make sure if you haven't, make sure you go to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice and add Star Wars Tonight. And a big thanks to, seriously, all of our Patreon supporters, because if it weren't for you guys, we couldn't do it. So seriously, thank you so much. Trisha, thank you so much for swinging by. Again, check out Fangirls Going Rogue. We will see you very soon. And in fact, like I'm sure I mentioned at some point, I'm terrible, but the invitation is extended. I'm sure we'll get you scheduled on a Star Wars Tonight evening if we can in the near future. That'd be amazing.
We should do that.
Sweet.
We'll have it.
We'll be in touch. I'll have my people talk to your people. We'll do it. Well, right, we'll see you. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye, Trisha.
Bye.
Trisha Barr, everybody. Round of applause. Round of applause.
Yay. Hey, you know, and the last time she was on, it was like a dual show when we were at Celebration.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, check that out in the archives. Our Celebration Europe live podcast featured none other than Trisha Barr. And some excellent thoughts. You know, I kind of got a little honest there. It was a little, because I do sometimes feel like there are aspects of fandom that have changed that I like so much, but I also sometimes feel foreign to and I want to embrace more than I have. So I'm glad we had her on. Glad we had Trisha on. She was absolutely amazing. So seriously, that was, what a show. What a show. Get those hearts and smiley faces and thumbs and whatever else Facebook Live does. I love seeing those things stream across. Everybody who tuned in live, thank you so much. Seriously, it's been a very lively, active chat this evening. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday evening with us. And of course, to all the folks listening on podcast, thank you so much for joining us. And if it's election day, two things: go vote, and also hopefully this provided you some measure of happiness or joy, some measure of entertainment. And so there we go. Man,
have you voted?
What did we learn? No, I'm an election day man. I gotta do it day of. It's a tradition.
I did it on Friday.
Ah, good for you. Vote now.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say there's lines and they wait for hours. I walked right in. It's amazing.
Vote now. Vote now.
Vote now. Vote now. I see ETs. Vote now.
Exactly. Well, what have we learned? We've learned about the New York Times recognizing female fandom and how prominent it's grown through the community, through amazing sites like Wookie Gunner and Fangirls Going Rogue and all the other cool shows. We've learned, what else have we learned? We've learned about Luke Skywalker's costume in episode 8. We've learned about the J.J.
And Kylo Ren's.
And Kylo Ren's and the J.J. Abrams commentary and details and hints at the Han Solo movie. It's been a jam-packed show, and I'm so glad you guys were available with us. And again, huge thanks to our sponsors, Entertain Art, Caseable, and of course, brand new this week, Geek Fuel. We do thank them for sponsoring us. Make sure you check out. The links are in the show notes. This is episode 247 of the Star Wars Report podcast. A couple things you guys need to know. We've gotten some amazing emails, but only a handful. Like, here's it is. Like, this is where Riley's, like, honest, because this is for you listening live and for you on the podcast that sticks around through the credits, because it's a small number. And we have some amazing giveaways that we're doing. I'm literally going to the post office Monday. Actually, when I go out to vote, probably, to ship out some amazing packages from some folks who've been leaving iTunes reviews. We have more packages. And so if you are interested in some sweet holiday Star Wars collectible cheer, we have some really, really cool giveaways that we're doing. In fact, this week we have the official Star Wars. Hang on.
I'm stretching out.
I accidentally stopped that. All right, we have the official Star Wars trivia game, Disney edition, with 4 lightsaber building puzzles to keep score with who's winning. That, along with some Star Wars Hot Wheels that we are giving away. So, here's how you get it. Make sure you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and that's where you can catch... and leave us a rating and review. Just do so, and then fire off an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, and then shoot us an email with your iTunes username And that way we'll double check and get everything in order, get your shipping info, and ship you some sweet Star Wars awesomeness. And then one final reminder, make sure you check out Twitter this week. Keep a close eye peeled as we do the official caseable giveaway, especially if an iPhone 6. It's going to be a grand time. So there we go. Enough of the business. You get Facebook Star Wars Report, Twitter Star Wars Report. It's at the Riley Guy for me on everything, at Admiral_Rex for Bruce's Twitter. And StarWarsReport.com/about if you want to learn about us and our private lives. that puts the wraps on this episode. One final thank you to Christopher, Kirk, and Damien, who all emailed in. Thank you so much for emailing. You can also email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. All right. That is more plugs than any man should give. So I'm wrapping us up. We're out of here. This episode of the Star Wars Report is in the can. May the Force be with you, and remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast, this podcast, this podcast, yeah. This podcast. Dance it out, folks. Call this the T-Rex. Remember, this episode of the Star Wars Report, any opinions expressed are only those of the host and do not represent the Star Wars Report, Disney, Lucasfilm, Industrial Light and Magic, Skywalker Sound, LucasArts, even though they don't exist anymore, and any other sane entity. Remember, kids, don't get caught in a speeder bike chase with Anakin Skywalker. Also, don't pod race with Sebulba. It's a bad idea. And Aswara said, let's stop killing Bothans. We're sorry, we can't help it. We just have to kill... Let's just kill Bothans.
Oh, sorry. That's sad.
Uh-huh. No. Anthony in the chat is like waiting for the 8-bit Jabba, and then scroll to the top of the chat. There it is. All right. Let me shut off the live stream to everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back Monday night, Star Wars Tonight. Be back here. Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. We'll see ya. Thank you for riding Star Tours. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right. And we're off. Although I'm going to catch the last part of our stream. Listen to this. In the chat's like waiting for the 8-bit Jabba, and then scroll to the top of the chat. There it is. All right. Let me shut off the live stream to everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back Monday night, Star Wars Tonight. Be back here. Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. We'll see ya.